Are we or will we be a poor, poor people? Or will we choose to be poor like Jesus? Several years ago, I attended a funeral mass presided by another priest, that of a younger woman whose parents were parishioners of mine. And so I went to accompany her parents. She was only 51 years old when she died. I learned, and it was obvious, that both she and her husband were very wealthy, both executives, making very good money, in a very expensive home, driving very expensive cars, with two kids that they could afford to send to the most expensive schools in the city. And it was strange to me why she would be dead so young. And I tried to listen into the homily as to why and gather from people, and it seemed to be like some big secret. And I couldn't tell why she had died and what was going on. It was clear she was beautiful, highly educated, highly motivated, very successful, but she was dead at 51. And I asked the priest what was going on and what happened after Mass. He said she drank herself to death. I realized that maybe because of the wealth and because of her functioning alcoholism, she could cover up the problem. I mean, she wasn't wandering the streets dirty, disheveled, and sleeping under bridges. She probably had her hair done every week and her nails, the finest of clothes like in the gospel today. And because she was a functioning alcoholic, no one thought of her as some drunk. And so she drank until it killed her, very young. And throughout her life, her children grew up with a mother who was physically present, but emotionally absent. When we struggle with addiction, we can be physically there, but we're totally incapable because of the nature of the disease for emotional intimacy. That daughter had a mother but didn't. Kids grow up in those experiences with the feeling like they are being abused because, even though the parent may not touch them in a violent way, when they need attention, love, affection, help, guidance, parenting, it's not there, but they're physically there. And so the absence of what should be there is painful and traumatic. A poor, poor woman who is wealthy in the things of this world but lacked freedom from this terrible disease and the humility to seek help to overcome it. In the first reading today, the people during the time of the prophet Amos were very wealthy. God had provided them everything in excess. And we see that described in how they're lying in beds of ivory and stretched comfortably on couches. Most people, when you have a flock of lambs, keep them alive and shave their wool every year and use that and sell it and use it for clothes. But these people are so wealthy, they slaughter the lambs and eat the meat because they can have enough money to buy wool from someone else. Most people, when they have baby calves in the stall, raise them to adulthood and live off of the milk and keep the animals alive because they provide this bountiful milk to eat, to drink and make cheese and so on. But these people are so wealthy, they slaughter them in their infancy because the meat is tender and, well, they could probably buy milk elsewhere. Everything is in excess. They drink wine not from cups, but from bowls. That's not going to end well. Everything they have is excessive. And while they are provided more than what they need, it sounds like they give nothing to those who need it and have forgotten what matters most, living the treasures of the inheritance God has given them as his sons and daughters. They've abandoned the commandments. They've left behind lives of virtue, and they are taken into the vice of pleasure and excess and greed, and nothing matters. They've become a poor, poor people, and the prophet Amos warns them that they will be exiled and done away with. They are a poor, poor people, but wealthy in the things of this world. Not unlike the rich man in the parable of Christ's gospel today. He was so poor, he wore the most expensive clothes and even wore extremely expensive clothes as undergarments because he could afford it. No one was going to see them, but he could afford it, and so he spent money on them anyway. It's not like today where people wear their undergarments on the outside of their clothing and nothing else. And he ate so much food, and there was such excess food that so much of it fell off the table, it would have filled Lazarus. But instead, it went to waste. He could care less about Lazarus's poverty, and it was excessive in his eating and drinking and dressing. He was rich in the things of this world, but as a man of virtue, faithful to the teachings of God, living his dignity as a son or daughter of God, he was poor, poor person. Today, the scriptures invite us to be poor like Jesus and to leave behind the poverty of addiction to drugs, alcohol, lust, money, greed, selfishness, arrogance, vainglory, and the rest, and to live in the poverty that imitates the life of Christ. Yes, Jesus was born poor in the eyes of this world. And maybe some of us have been, maybe some of us are. He could not afford a hotel when they had to report to Bethlehem to sign up for the census according to the edict of Caesar. As you know, he was born in a stall among animals and lived there for the first weeks or months of his life. They returned to Nazareth, to their home, where their father was a carpenter and probably barely eked out a living for them. His whole life, all he knew was worldly poverty. And then later on, leaving the house at 30, he says, "Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He was homeless, and he didn't even have a horse or a donkey to get around in. But when it came to the things of heaven and to the life of virtue, there is and was no one wealthier. He is God made man. This man who was homeless and poor, with the help of 12 sinners, would form a church that today number 1.3 billion Catholics around the world. From the wealth of his poverty, he gave. And that's what the antiphon to the gospel today tells us. Though our Lord Jesus Christ was rich as God, he became poor as man, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Well, how does someone make me rich through poverty? You know, when I came to this parish, I was told it was a very poor parish based on the collection. 10 times less than the collection of the parish I came from. I was told it was a struggling community. The people were poor, but they characterized the parish in the eyes of the world. Yes, our collection's low, but what I've experienced here is an enrichment personally through the poverty of the people that make their parish, this parish, their home. What I mean by that is this. Where I came from, there was plenty of money, but very few volunteers. So we had to pay for music. We don't hear. We had to pay for people to clean the church. We don't hear. We had to pay for everything. And we struggled to have the sufficient volunteers, even to help with serving Mass and being ushers and with everything needed in addition to the priest celebrating the Mass. Not here. Although this Mass at 11:30 is an exception. Here at this parish, I've been enriched by people who are poor in the eyes of the world. They, like Jesus, grew up poor. Like Jesus, left their country for fear for their lives, as he did, fleeing into Egypt, undocumented, illegal, no job, no money, no family, no home, and didn't even speak the language. Like Jesus, they came to this country poor, as he did when he went to Egypt in his infancy. Like Jesus, they lived throughout their lives, maybe in humble occupations, cleaning, cooking, working in factories, not like the CEO of the woman who died at 51. But from the wealth of their faith, they give. And because of their wealth, as I have been enriched by it, I see a people who use the little time they have free from their work and their talents to freely donate by serving at Mass, by singing in the choir in Spanish, by cleaning the church every week, by volunteering as catechists for 2.5 hours every Friday or Saturday morning, by helping out in a myriad of ways. without which we would not be able to get by. They give from a poverty that is rooted in a deep relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's manifested by their life of virtue, humble and prayerful, coming to Mass, to adoration, sharing the faith, helping others in need. They are rich in the things that matter most, and I have been enriched by their poverty. Like Paul's description to Timothy, they live these words of the scripture. But you, man of God or woman, pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Compete well for the faith. And that's how they live here. That's what I've seen by so many people that make this parish their home. They are not poor, poor people. They are people who have chosen to be poor like Jesus, to be rich in the things that matter most. And so today the scriptures invite us to decide, who will we be? A poor, poor people who think that the wealth of this world will make your life better, ultimately? A poor, poor people who think that their value is based on their physical appearance and how their body looks? A poor, poor people who maybe make good money, live comfortable lives, but are slaves to lust or addiction? Or will we be a poor people like Jesus, who, whether or not we have the means of this world, live a life of dignity and virtue, who know who we are because of what God has done for us, and not what we wear, what we live in, or what we drive? Ultimately, the greatest form of poverty comes from a lack of humility that says, I don't need help and I don't need confession. God can forgive any sin, no matter how egregious. The only sin he cannot forgive is the sin that we have knowingly committed and freely choose to refuse to ask forgiveness for. That's the sin against the Holy Spirit that Jesus talks about in the gospel, the unforgivable sin, as he describes it. God will not and cannot forgive you or me if I refuse to say I'm sorry in the sacrament of confession. There is no greater poverty than a lack of humility that is able to recognize, Lord, I need you. I cannot do this on my own. In a similar way, there's no greater poverty than the alcoholic or the addict, like that poor, wealthy woman who says, I don't have a problem, or I don't need help. They don't know the humility of Christ, who, even though he was God, as he carried the cross to Golgotha, collapsed a second time and realized that he could not carry the cross himself. And he allows a sinner, Simon of Cyrene, to pick up the cross. And Jesus, who is God and man, humbly follows him, letting that man carry the cross for him. Only because of that extraordinary act of humility did he reach Golgotha and lay down his life for our salvation. When we are unwilling to ask for help, when we are not humble enough to seek support in our problems, our addiction, our sin, our alcoholism, we die in that state, physically and or spiritually. Today the Lord invites us to become poor like him, humble, so that we can be rich in what matters most. So at the end of the day, the choice is yours. Who will you be? The poor, poor person in the gospel, or someone poor like Jesus?